Well, morning to London Road Baptist Church on this sort of special, I would say, Sunday morning, because it's 100 years ago this weekend that Britain experienced its last sort of registered Christian revival. And of all the places in the United Kingdom for that happened, it happened here in Lowestoft. And it's often called the Forgotten Revival. And there was a great revival and people came to faith and miracles were seen in Lowestoft 100 years ago. And it actually began in London Road Baptist Church. And I'm going to talk about that later on. Well, as I said, I'm Neil. I'm the current minister here at London Road Baptist Church. And this morning, I'm joined by Andrew. Andrew Sutton, he's doing our visuals. I've got Mark Darling, and he's doing the audio. Life in lockdown, we've begun this tradition where members of the church come and just share a little bit of what it's been like in lockdown and do our reading. And it's fantastic. This morning, we've got Anna Smith, one of our trustees and highly respected treasurer of London Road Baptist Church. And it's her husband, Stuart, who's on the camera, and Stuart's videoing this camera. We've got Fox in the background ready to edit this film so that you can watch it at home. And then we've got socially distanced at the back, Roy, who acts as our security guard, so we're not interrupted during these coronavirus legislative times. So it's fantastic for you to join us. And my theme this morning has to be revival and renewal. Now, when that revival came 100 years ago, it involved all the churches. It spilled over from London Road Baptist Church and affected the whole town. And we work with other fantastic Christians and friends within this town tonight. And tonight, our special friends at Lowestoft Community Church, Ben, a great friend of ours, and the others there, and Mike and everybody, they're facilitating a town-wide prayer meeting this evening. I'll be joining them. You are invited to join them and join us and other Christians in Lowestoft for a Zoom prayer meeting tonight at 7 o'clock. And details of that are in your notices, they're on the church website. And if you want to join us via Zoom tonight, you do that. Well, the events in 1921, you may not realize, came on the heels of a worldwide pandemic called Spanish flu. It also came at the back of a depressing time following the Great War, and actually Lowestoft was bombed, heavily bombed, not just in the Second World War, but in the First World War. And this had created in the town an atmosphere as anxiety and questioning. And it's like that today. One of the real joys, if there can be joy in such sorrowful times, is that we're constantly, through emails and I, through conversations and phone calls, I'm talking with people I normally wouldn't talk to about life and values and faith, because I think this coronavirus pandemic has led us to ask questions, and I think that happened in 1921. Let me just show you what the situation was in 1921. Well, there you've got a gentleman called Reverend Douglas Brown, and Douglas Brown was a Baptist minister, and he was a Baptist minister at Balham Baptist Church in London that still exists today. It's interesting that Douglas there, although he looks very serious and very sturdy in that picture, a very different kind of minister to what I look like today, but actually he was a seaman before he was a minister. I found that in my investigations of him. So maybe he had an affinity with Lowestoft, I don't know. But he was a reluctant minister. He was really doubting if God had called him to ministry, was really wrestling with his faith, and was actually about to pack in the whole concept of being a paid minister, full-time ministry at Balham. And within this wrestling, and within this time of great insecurity, he'd been in bed for 11 days before he actually came to Lowestoft. But in that challenging time of being poorly, in being bed, thinking about his whole future, he had a powerful experience of the Holy Spirit that came upon him and encouraged him to keep going and to be involved in this missionary invitation by this gentleman, who is Hugh Ferguson. And Hugh Ferguson was the Baptist minister at London Road Baptist Church. And that picture of London Road Baptist Church is around where Boots is now in the High Street. We're in the new Baptist Church here on Kirkley Park Road, London Road, Lowestoft, because we sold a number of years ago that old premise in the town centre, and Boots bought us out and gave enough money for us to build these resources here. And Hugh Ferguson invited Douglas Brown to a mission from Monday the 7th to Friday the 11th of March in 1921. It's interesting, again, you think these people are really confident people, but on my investigations, Hugh there thought the whole thing was going to be a complete flop. He had no, although he believed in a great God, he doubted if God would hear his prayers. And the prayers for this mission preceded Douglas's arrival. So the church, and particularly the leaders of the church in 1921, prayed about it. And Douglas arrived by train to Lowestoft on that day, and he was ill. However, when he spoke at Monday night's meetings and the Tuesday morning and that night, the power of the Holy Spirit moved among the people from the beginning. And on Wednesday night, they had an inquiries night. I suppose that was a kind of alpha of the day. And it was in the old schoolroom in the old church. And that many people came, they had to move it into the main church. But on the very first night, young people, 60 to 70 young people, became Christians on that one night. And each night, more and more people came into the inquiry room. So the mission was extended. And Douglas Brown returned to his church on the Friday in Balham to preach that weekend, and came back on the Monday and continued with the second week of the mission. By the end of March, the meetings were moved from the 700 seating capacity of the Baptist Church and other nearby churches to the 1,100 seating capacity of St. John's Anglican Church. So all the other churches were involved. And I'll just encourage you to go onto the web and read about some of the things that happened. People of dubious backgrounds were converted in the street. And these aren't just reported in the Christian press. These are reported in the Lowestoft Journal. It spread into the fishing community, and whole trawlers of men became Christians at sea. And they used to have the Scottish ladies used to come down and fillet and gut the herrings. Many of them became Christians, and then it went to Great Yarmouth and it went down to Lowestoft. And there was conversion after conversion and transformed lives. And one of the great things that I find fascinating is the number of people that, even without hearing God's word preached, were convicted of their need to seek Jesus Christ and would suddenly turn up at the Baptist church or a meeting and say, "Lord, lead me to Christ." There were husbands and wives who didn't tell each other that they was going through a religious experience because it was all unpredictable, and they would suddenly meet, and God has spoken to a husband and to a wife, and they sort of came independently and then met at the altar rail. And the whole thing was blessed upon blessed upon blessed. And though he was poorly, as I told you earlier, before he came, Douglas treasured and lived by these verses found in 2 Timothy. And I'm going to read them to you now. And he says this: in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some are for noble purposes, and some are for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument of noble purpose, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee from evil desires of the youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, Douglas, though insecure, made himself available for noble purpose, not by some breeding or some privileged upbringing, because he himself had just been a seaman, not by intellect, he'd not been to university or anything, but he made himself noble by fleeing evil, by pursuing righteousness. That means the pursuit to be right with God. And with God's help, he strived for a pure heart. And so Douglas waited for God upon his knees. He prayed and prayed and prayed and said, "Lord, if you want me to stay in the ministry, I will do that." He fell on his knees, offered himself to God, and lived wholly for him, all picked up in the opening words of our opening song, "Hungry" by Catherine Scott. Enjoy the words and make this your prayer, like Douglas did 100 years ago this week.
Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you,
Can I invite you now just to pray? If it was an Anglican church, I could also say, would you like to kneel? Maybe you would want to kneel now as I pray, as the song invites us to do, to fall upon our knees. The problem, I would not be embarrassed to fall upon my knees now, but then I can't see my lectern and the camera is not lined up. But I did actually write on my notes there, kneel, fall on your knees. And so, Lord, we want to be people like Douglas and Hugh, who did their best to wholly live for you. We want to be about noble purpose. And we, Lord, don't want to study and reflect on our heritage as some kind of historical memoir. But we want to do that, Lord, because we want to carry on this legacy in Lowestoft of cooperating with you, being led by you, empowered by your Spirit, so that we too will see family and friends and community know Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, we're people who have stumbled on the truth that you are a God who satisfies the deepest needs of human beings, and that your love for human beings never runs dry, but we're people who understand that our love for you does run dry, and at times our love for you, by our behavior, by our attitude, is with fault. And for that we say sorry. So we fall on our knees and offer all of ourselves to you. Broken and damaged and insecure, we run to you. Weary, we run to you, because we know that your arms are always open wide to welcome, to hug, to comfort and embrace all who turn to you. So, Lord, take our waiting, bring it to fruition, so that, Lord, in another 100 years, rather the revival will be continuing, or it will be reflected on in positive ways. Amen. It's interesting, you know, that the revival in Lowestoft wasn't just a week. It continued and continued. And it was continued for some months as it spread. It went to Diss, went to Bury St. Edmunds, it went to Great Yarmouth, it went down to Ipswich. But at some time, you know, the church must have messed up, may have come complacent with it. Maybe they stopped praying, I don't know. But the revival of God is something that God would want to continue and continue and continue. And we're going to be thinking about that later on in our service. But before that, as I mentioned to you earlier, it's a great privilege. My friend, a great servant and trustee of this church, Anna's going to come now, share something about life in lockdown, bring our prayers and bring our reading for the day. And so I'm going to invite Anna onto stage as I move off. Thank you, Anna.
Good morning. As Neil said, I'm Anna Smith and I'm one of the trustees of the church here. So this morning, this is about my life in lockdown. And well, what a change that is this morning, to be out of the house and dressed, and dressed up quite smartly. I actually had to think about what I was going to wear today, instead of just slipping into a pair of jeggings and a top. So a couple of weeks ago, I went over to the office where I normally work once a week in Yarmouth, and found myself getting quite excited about driving all that way. I'd not been so far as that since early in December. So this is kind of my lockdown life, but some very positive things have come out of it. As treasurer of our church, I've had lots of nice letters, emails and phone calls from our members, some of whom I don't normally get a chance to chat to. I've been on lots of walks and have found paths and tracks that I never even knew existed, although I've lived in this town all my life. I've really appreciated living in Lowestoft, with its wide sandy beach, cliffs, the broads and marshes, the big skies, though not perhaps the biting cold wind, which, as the saying goes, is a lazy wind that goes straight through you and not around you. And I've learnt how to Zoom and how to do WhatsApp video calls, which has been a great way to keep in contact with friends, family, and our church family. But seeing my little grandson on the mobile is not the same as having him sit on my lap and reading a book with him. Having a Zoom meeting with work colleagues or friends is not the same as having a chat face to face over a cup of coffee. And a Zoom meet and greet with friends in our church family is good, but it's not the same as meeting together here in this building with a handshake, a hug, a tease or a joke, and a prayer together. So this has been my lockdown, but now the spring is coming, and it seems at last the restrictions there have been in our daily life are slowly being lifted, and I will look forward to all those little things. Just before we pray, I would like to finish my lockdown conversation with an old Gaelic blessing, which is very special to me, and I would like to give that to you. May the rood rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Now, if you'd just like to join me in prayers. Dear Lord, especially over this coming week, as children and teachers return to school together, I'd like to pray especially for the children and the young people from our church here who are associated with our church, and also for the wider community. Please bless the children as they go back to school again. Some may be feeling nervous, some may be feeling worried, some are excited, but this is a big step for all of them, and we just bless them, dear Lord. Also the teachers, the teaching assistants and other support staff, dear Lord. It must be a difficult time for them, and help them to have the right things to say to the children and to comfort and support them. And also for the parents who may be concerned about the children going back to school, please be with them as well. We ask that in your dear name. Amen. The reading this morning is from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 11 to 15. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Amen. There'll now be a short video, which is of a song, which is called If My People.
2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14.
If my people are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins.
Thank you, Anna, for bringing that reading to us. The part I want to talk about this morning, which I think is central to understanding revival and our responsibilities in that, is found there in 14 and 15, verses 14 and 15 of Chronicles 7, 2 Chronicles 7, read to us by Anna. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin but heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. And I just want to unpack this really without a formal sermon through just some key points I'd like to unpack. Now, what I want you to understand right at the beginning is that word if. God doesn't get all that he wants. Now, you might think that is a blasphemous statement. God desires that you and I be holy, and sometimes we're not holy. God desires that I won't sin, and I sin. Now I want to say the antidote for sin, forgiveness and grace is free. You cannot earn God's forgiveness, but you have to ask for God's forgiveness. And so the word if is a crucial word in the Old and the New Testament. Now, before I talk about that word if, I want to ask you this question. Is our God any different to the God of 2000? Is the God of 2021 any different to the God of 1921 or any different to the God at Pentecost? I want to say no. The writer of Hebrews puts it like this. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the destiny for the church in Acts was revival, and it saw it. And the destiny for the church in 1921 in Lowestoft with revival, and they saw it. And the destiny of London Road Baptist Church and all the other churches in Lowestoft is also revival today. God has changed not. The power of the Holy Spirit has not changed what? The ability to God to forgive through Jesus Christ has not changed one little bit. But it all boils down to that word, if. And God offers forgiveness free. Grace is free. But if I offer a present now, Stuart's in front of me, if I offer a free gift to Stuart, Stuart can refuse to accept that gift. And even if he accepts that gift, he could then refuse to open it. And so there are those people in our society who haven't accepted the gift of Jesus, and there are those people who are in our church who haven't unpacked the gift of Jesus, and they've never lived the kind of life that God intends them to live. It's not just believing in Jesus, it's living out that belief by unpacking that gift of grace. God's word says that if you confess your sin and call me Lord, you shall be saved. If. God's word says that if we confess, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. Jesus even makes it more personal in the Gospels. He says, if you love me, you will do what I say. And so right at the beginning of revival is this challenge to God's people. So it says, if my people. Revival begins with God's people before it can go out into a community. Revival begins with us. It flows into the community, but it begins in the church. God must first renew his people before he can renew the community. So the question is, do you and I want to be revived? Do you and I want the responsibilities that come with revival, or do we just want to observe it as a kind of TV spectacular, or do we want to live the responsibility of revival? And then it says, those who are called by my name. We're those who should live differently. You're called Christian. The word Christian means follower of Christ. The word disciple, those who are attempting to live a disciplined life. And we rather need to change our name or our behavior so it matches the one that we serve. Called by my name. And that name is a new name. Now, I was born Smith. It's interesting. Hannah also shares that wonderful surname, Smith. But Hannah and I have a new name, son and daughter of the living God. And as thankful as Anna is to her mum and dad who gave that name, as thankful as I am to my mum and dad who gave me that name, Smith, a wonderful name. My new name is Son of the Living God. I have a heavenly Father. And he puts demands upon my life. But the great thing is that I have been born twice. I was born in 1958 in a maternity hospital in Naburn, York, in 1958. But I was reborn in the mid-70s when I became a Christian. And when I was reborn, I was designed to begin again. I was forgiven and I had immense potential. And if you're listening today, if you're born again, when you're born again a second time, you can begin a second time. And you have incredible potential. I'm called by God's name, but I'm called to humble myself. That means, in one sense, to humble oneself means to be in submission of. It's a state of lowliness. I need to humble myself. I need to submit myself to how God would want me to live. Now, that's the challenge, because before I was a Christian, I lived as I wanted to live. And now I'm called to live as God wants me to live. I'm called to be a Christian. And in the New Testament, we get different times when it says the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. In other words, the people in Antioch, Turkey, recognized that these people lived differently. You know, when Paul went before King Agrippa, King Agrippa says to him, "Paul, do you think you can make me a Christian?" And so a Christian is somebody who is seen to live differently. Not be a killjoy at a party. Be at the center of the party. Be at the center of fun. Not designed to be a boring, judgmental person, but should be seen to live differently. And then it says, if you humble oneself, Psalm 25 verse 9 says, "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." If you want to know God's way, if you want to be taught by God, you and I need to humble oneself. Because later on in Matthew, he says in Matthew 23:12, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." And that's what happened 100 years ago. Two gentlemen, Stanley and Hugh, humbled themselves and then ended up being exalted in the community they served when thousands of people became Christians. And then we're called to pray. We're called to seek the face of God. And prayer is the hallmark of how revival begins and how a revival is sustained. You cannot do church like in the New Testament and not make prayer a priority. Please join us this evening with our friends of Lowestoft Community Church and other churches in the town as we pray. The Word of God tells us in Acts 1:14 that the early Christians were joined constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. It tells us that the early believers constantly prayed. It tells us in Acts 2:42, it says they devoted themselves to prayer and the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread. But it says they devoted. The early church fell in love with prayer. It saw prayer as an exciting thing. Yes, we need to look how we can make prayer more engaging, more exciting. Prayer should not be boring. Prayer is when we encounter the very living presence of the Holy Spirit. And when you encounter the Holy Spirit, it says these words in Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place that they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That's what prayer does. It will have you and allow you more easily encounter the dynamic gift of the Holy Spirit, transform your life, but make you do bold things. So it can take a Hugh who was very insecure, and it can make his mission a success. It can take a Stanley from his bed of having Spanish flu for 11 years and make him preach boldly in London Road Baptist Church 100 years ago this weekend. Seek God's face, seek intimacy with him. Are you seeking intimacy with him or church activity? You know, when people fall in love, maybe you don't do it now, but you know, you stare in each other's faces. Do you still stare intently at your partner, or do you just stare indignantly as they annoy you? But when you fall in love, you stare with eyes wide open. Do you stare? Seek my face, it says. Seek God. And it says, turn from their wicked ways. You know, we've lost our moral barometer. We live in a mixed up society. I would want to say that Hugh and Stanley would be confused with the moral standards of today. Don't let society write the moral standards. Let Jesus write them through his word. God's word, God's standards for you to live by are in the word of God, not in a secular society that's lost his way. We're to avoid wickedness, and the definition of wickedness will be found in God's word, not in the society that we live. But look, listen what this promise, if we do those things, if we recognize we're God's people, if we live up to our name, if we humble ourselves, and if we pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then we've got this wonderful word in the word of God, then. And God says, then I'll hear. I'll hear your prayers. Do you know that God wants to hear your prayers? And he hears the prayers, and he answers the prayers, and he says, not only will I forgive you, not only will he forgive Neil and Stuart and Anna and Andrew and Mark and Roy, all in this premise today, and Fox, but he will heal our land. He will heal our town. He will heal your family, your brothers, your sisters, your wayward children, your next door neighbours. And the key to revival in your family and in Lowestoft and in the county of Suffolk and in the country of the United Kingdom and in the whole world is dependent upon God's people humbling themselves, making preparation, and then allowing God to bring revival, which is always immeasurably more than we can see or understand. What happened for Hugh and Stanley was an immeasurable, unimaginable amount of grace poured out. And that's revival, not predictability. He'll do immeasurably more than we can see. And he'll heal our land. You know, I'm really pleased. Last week I had my COVID-19 injection. And it's been interesting today. Stuart and Hannah's been sharing, they've had theirs. But God wants to do more than protect us from COVID. He wants to heal us from sin. And God promises not to, he has the capacity to heal all human beings. And now I'm down to the end. And God says, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. This place. God is saying to us now, who make up London Road Baptist Church, my eyes and my ears are open to your prayers in 2021 as they were in 1921. So the question is, are we going to learn from the ministry of Hugh Ferguson, who was the minister here in 1921, who preceded that revival period with prayer? And so Hugh leaves a legacy and a challenge, not a history lesson. And the challenge that Hugh leaves us this morning that led to Stanley coming and God doing immeasurably more than Hugh and Stanley could ever imagine in bringing revival began by understanding the responsibility and the implication of this piece of scripture and how it worked out. I want you to think about all that I've said. I want you to really take in that scripture. I'd love you to meditate all week. I'd love you to try and look at your own life. I want to just challenge you, you know, another great revival just before the Lowestoft revival was the Welsh revival. And the significant individual of the Welsh revival was a man called Evan Roberts. And he said, look, there's four things that need to happen before revival comes. And he says, look, confess all known sin to God. Come clean with God. He said the second thing you do, you have to deal with doubt. He says, get rid of any doubtful areas within your life. The third thing he said, look, when the Holy Spirit speaks and challenges, obey instantly. And the fourth thing he said was, confess Christ publicly. Give it a go. And I'm really struck by the fact that a wonderful predecessor of mine here, called Hugh Ferguson, gave it a go, but he was brave enough to do that, and he was humble enough to say, do you know, I don't think it's going to work, but I'm going to do it. And that's humility, isn't it? Humility is owning our own shortfall, but believing in a God. And so I want to look at God's promises 2,000 years ago when he says, I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. I want to look at God's promise 100 years ago when he poured out his spirit locally here in Lowestoft. And I want you to consider his promise of old for today as we listen to this song and make it our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Look into your promise of old. If we pray and humble ourselves, you will come and heal our land. You will come, you will come. Look into the promise you made. If we turn and look to your face, you will come and heal our land. Come to us, Lord, send revival, start with me.
You know, God is true to all his promises. Well, I hope you're going to join us tonight, 7 o'clock, for that prayer meeting. I hope you really consider where we go as a church and how we'll see revival. If you've been touched by anything I've said, then contact me through the church website. More than happy to have a coffee with you as we ease this social lockdown, but have a chat in the meantime. If you're a regular member of our church and you've been touched by anything I've said, then as we know, on a Sunday morning, Bill and I are available, a phone call away, and they'll pray with you this morning. But we're going to close now with Tim Hughes's fairly recent song, Spirit Breakout. And that is my prayer, that the Holy Spirit breaks out in London Road Baptist Church and spills out into London Road, Pakefield, Lowestoft Town Centre, Great Yarmouth, Ipswich Diss. And again, we see a great movement of God in our community. Spirit Breakout, Tim Hughes. Bye and see you next week.
Spirit.
Heaven come.